Let's turn to number 535.
Thankful for Pastor Freeman and all the years you gave him to us. And as we continue our search for a new pastor. We pray that your hand of protection and blessing will be upon us as we seek you regarding this. And we're thankful for the Seabolds being here today, and we're thankful for their ministry you've given to them. Be with him as he preaches the word, and we pray that we will be receptive to what your word says. Give us a good day, and again we thank you for all you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, 720.
Sound that saved a wretch. Proverbs, 1 Corinthians 11, and verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, in the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you need to show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that wine. Let a man examine himself. It would do us well to do just that. God has never asked me over the years to put a stamp of approval on any person participating in the Lord's table. It's between you and God. You need to be born again. You need to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. We deceive ourselves. A person would deceive themselves. Individuals would be deceived. They don't recognize that it's the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that covers our sins, and it must be an acceptance by the individual. Mommy can't do it for a son. Daddy can't do it for a daughter. It's an individual matter. Let a man examine himself. You're on God's ground between you and God. Make sure you know, beyond any shadow of doubt, that Jesus Christ is your Savior. Let's just take a moment, have a flat piano play, and settle anything that needs to be settled between you and God.
Thank you. received of the Lord, that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. I ask my brother here to pray.
Heavenly Father, we just read you for the Lord is the symbol of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, that hang on the cross for our sins, Lord. He was pierced and beaten for us, O Lord. And Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for what you did for us, that we may have a place in heaven with thee, O Lord. And that our sins are washed away, Lord. Thank you for that, Lord. Pray this all now. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Same manner that took the cup, gentlemen. After the same manner also, he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as often as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come.
Represents the blood of the Lord Jesus shed on the cross and sprinkled on the mercy seat in heaven. Cries out on our behalf that we're forgiven for eternity and we've obtained eternal redemption. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Songwriter said, There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Thank God for the shed blood and the pure, spotless Lamb of God who transported that blood from the gates of heaven. Planet Earth. Amen. Let's sing a song. There is a fountain. All right? Let's do that.
Some announcements here that I want to make sure everybody knows about. First of all, this coming Wednesday night, Dick Prue will be coming to be with us. His surgery got delayed a little bit. We don't know any further detail beyond than that as far as when it's going to be now, but he will be here this coming Wednesday night. Lord willing, he'll be able to finish his study on Galatians that we've been looking at. It's been a real blessing to us. So he'll be here on Wednesday night. Now, exactly a month from now, on March the 10th, John Zwingle will be coming back to be with us. And we are going to have an evening service that night on March the 10th. Yes. He and his family are missionaries in Russia at the moment. So he will be here by himself, okay? His wife and his daughter won't be able to make it, primarily because of his wife's sister is really doing very badly health-wise. And so pray for her. But he'll be here by himself. And we'll be here March the 10th. We'll have our normal Sunday school and morning service. We will have an evening service that night. He will be here that Wednesday night, March the 13th. And then we will have our normal services on March the 17th, the following Sunday. So he'll be here from the 10th through the 17th of March. Okay? So, two things, please. First, please, yes, Sam.
If you should specify that the 17th will just be Sunday school and Sunday morning.
Okay, correct. I did say normal services, but I need to specify what that means. That's correct. All right, two things. First, we need to be planning to make sure we're here. We need to have a strong attendance on any Sunday, but particularly when Brother Zwingle will be here. And then secondly, we need to be praying that God will use him in our lives and also that he will reveal to us what his will is for him and for us. So let's be praying about that.
So, excuse me, can you just repeat the dates? Please?
March 10th, we will have Sunday school, morning service, and evening service. March 13th, we'll have our normal Wednesday prayer and Bible study. He will be preaching that night. And then the following Sunday, March the 17th, we will have only Sunday school and morning service. Okay. Couple of the things. I mentioned this in Sunday school, but continue to pray for Priscilla. My mom and I went over to see her yesterday. She's in that Coopersburg Nursing Home, where we met her a number of years ago when both her and Chris Mitchell were over there. And she is doing much better, but she still has some difficulties. So keep praying. We don't know how long she'll be there. And then last but not least, I received a text message yesterday from Chris Mitchell. I think it may be both feet, but he sent me a photo, and I don't mean to gross anybody out, but of his right foot, and it looked really bad. And I do not know if he overexerted himself or whether it's the result of the diabetes he has. It may be a combination of both, but pray for him. That's why he's not here today. He's really in pain and having a tough time. So let's pray for him. I think that's all the announcements that I'm aware of at the moment. Let's take our hymn books. We'll sing one more song before the special and the message. Number 812, all the way in the very back of the hymn book, Beyond the Index. If you're able to stand, why don't we sing Victory in Jesus.
Oh, felt fire from above. I've been down to the river. I ain't the same, a prodigal return. Never be the same. That's why I sing. All my hope is in Jesus. Thank God that yesterday's gone and all my sins are forgiven. Oh, I've been washed by.
All very quiet. Shh. And all God's children said,
amen.
I want to make sure you're there. These are reading glasses and distance glasses. I see blurs. I've mentioned that to you before. But it's good to have some real life in church. Amen. And it's a great thing that God's done for you. You've been saved. You're on your way to heaven. He's forgiven your sins. Just fabulous. And there's a world outside this building that needs to know that. Ain't God good to give us so many blessings, undeserving? That's what we are. We ought to thank Him, love and praise Him. What, a little more today and a whole lot more tomorrow. And I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. And it's good to be here. I'm glad you're here. I trust God will bless you for being here. And I hope you leave a little bit different. Not up to this particular point in time, has been more than sufficient. The words of the song, the meaning that was sung behind it, it ought to change us. Somebody went to a Baptist church once and said, if you folks change as many times as what the preacher suggested you change, you know, sang that different last week, that song ought to change you. Sang it something today, that ought to change you. The message today, it ought to change you. And we ought to change. We ought to, you know, kind of just get a little bit better, better and better through the grace of God in our lives. Amen. It's good to be here. Let me say that once again. Take your Bibles, if you would. And life is interesting. It is definitely filled with twists and turns. And you get to be my age, and you've done a lot of twisting and turning. There's no more straight roads left. It's either uphill, downhill, left, right, all around. And some of you know what I'm talking about. But it is good to be in the service of the King. I am happy in the service of the King. And I thank God for the privilege of serving Him. I didn't get saved until I was in my early 20s. But I'm glad I got saved. A lot of folks get saved, you know, that 7-8 year span in there, sometime in single digits, and then maybe into preteen and then teen, and then you wait until you're an old man at the age of 20 or, and so forth. But I'm glad I got saved. I'm glad my wife got saved. And I'm glad we've been able to raise children here in this part of the country to serve the Lord. I thank God for my oldest daughter, my middle daughter, my youngest daughter, and they're all great kids. And I thank God for them and praise God for what they're doing in their life to serve them. It's good. Ephesians chapter 5. Did I tell you that? Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 18 and verse number 19. If you want a title for the message, it's simply Stay Fully Charged. Stay Fully Charged. Ephesians chapter 5, and I'll be reading verse 18 and 19 and praying, and then we'll go into some thoughts for the day. I trust will be a help and a blessing to us as we endeavor to live a Christian life here in an unchristian-like part of the country. So Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Verse 19, speaking to yourselves, and that's proper. That's not a sign of mental deficiency. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I trust every once in a while you will find yourself accidentally, unsolicited, singing a song. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow. Okay? And so we sing, and it ought to be that way, whether you have a sweet, melodious voice or you have a type of voice, it ought to be that we are singing people. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we have the idea that once we bow our heads and close our eyes and directly address you, that we have an uninterrupted audience with you. And Lord, we acknowledge our unworthiness even to come in thought into your presence, but you've offered and invited and suggested that we come to a conversation with you on a regular basis. You told us that we ought to pray and not to faint. And so, Lord, we do that today. There is a needy group of people here. There's not one sitting or standing in this place that doesn't need you. We need you, and we need you every hour. May this hour especially be designed to speak to our hearts. May we go forth from this place better able to serve you because we spent a few moments together in your presence and with your help. Guide and direct again, I'd ask, in Jesus' name, amen. Dead batteries, for most of us, we're somewhat acquainted with dead batteries. The younger generation has not had as much experience with dead batteries. But some of us of a more select group, some of you know what I'm talking about, a dead battery. There are some folks out here have no idea what a dead battery is. They've never had the thrill and joy of getting out on a cold morning when it's about 10 degrees out there, sitting in the car and taking the key and putting it in there and pushing a button over here and nothing happens. Where it goes, And the automobiles that we had way back in ancient history, if you did have a dead battery, you could jump start the car. All right? You could get somebody who had a battery that was already charged, and you get these big long, what they call cables, and got the little pinchers on the end of it, and you hook plus with plus, minus, hopefully you do it that way, minus with minus, and you put it there, and hopefully he's got enough juice in his battery to get some into your battery, and then get it into the ignition system and spark it up and get it started. There's nothing worse than having a dead battery. And I say this graciously, but there's nothing worse in a church than having a congregation of dead batteries. All right? However, if you are a charged member, all right, then you have the responsibility of making sure that somebody sitting in front of you, back of you, alongside of you is charged up as well. And we need to make sure that we stay fully charged. And we don't have a meter here, although I had threatened back at Open Door when I was there forever to do something just like that. I threatened to stand at the back door with a stethoscope. You know what a stethoscope is? That's what the doctor uses to listen most of the time to your heart. And I had wanted to get a Baptist stethoscope. And I would stand at the back door, and maybe when the folks were coming in, initial exam, no charge, free. And I would stand at the back, put it up. Saved, saved, saved. You can come in. Lost, 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 lost. You need to go see a counselor before you come in. And we would just direct them to where they need to be. Now, you're laughing at that. But we need to examine ourselves. We just said this morning, the scripture said this morning, let a man examine himself. What do you hear? I've seen a good number of folks go on to be with the Lord, and I've yet to get a phone call. Rev, this is the Lord. Should I let him in or not? Now, I've never gotten a phone call. It's between you and God. One of the most difficult things being in the ministry is when folks ask, was my Uncle Joe saved? Was Aunt Mary saved? Between you and God. And if you're here this morning, I hope that says, I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven, right? Can't wait. I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm saved. Right off the bat, if you're visiting with us or you're here, I'm visiting too, so feel right at home. But if you're visiting and you've never faced that issue, or if you're here all the time, make sure that when the spiritual stethoscope is placed on your heart by the Holy Spirit, that it rings and rings back out, I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm saved. Amen? That's important. How important? Very important. How important? All important. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? It's kind of like what it's all about. It's not the size home you live in or the style car that you drive. It's about, this world's not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I'm not going to be at home in this world anymore. What do they hear with that spiritual stethoscope? Now take comfort. I'm not going to stand at the back door with a stoke. I'm not going to do that. Okay, so you say, is that nut? You know, it looks a little strange. Is he really going to do that? Stand at the back door and check? No, but you have the idea. There's a necessity for discomfort if you're not saved. Would you agree? If you have a loved one, it's essential that they feel uncomfortable in not being saved. It would be a compliment to say, every time I'm around you, Aunt Susie, you make me feel uncomfortable. Always talking about this place called heaven. Always talking about that man, Jesus. And I just feel uncomfortable. You're in the process. Those of you who are sitting here saved, know that you were uncomfortable before you opened the door of your heart and invited Jesus to come in. Once you did that, you had comfort. You didn't mind they were talking about Jesus at the lunch counter. It didn't bother you that they were singing spiritual songs once you got saved. We need to have, as saved individuals, and you stand before God in this matter, but you need to know that you're saved, and folks need to know, and they need to know that you're fully charged. That you know, you can turn a car over when the battery's not fully charged. You can do a life when it's not fully charged. But it is a great thing to be born again and fully charged. Let me read this verse again, if you would. Go over to Galatians. It's similar. No, stay right here. Don't go. Stay. Freeze. That's good. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's no fun to have a dead battery. It is definitely no fun to have a dead battery. When I went to college, I was not one of the wealthiest men on campus. I had married Ma, and we had a little girl by the name of Kareth, and we just kind of struggling to pay school bills and rent on a house and so forth and so on. And so it wasn't unusual to have a dead battery. And one of the places where I worked, it was the parking lot was in back, and what I would do with my little Ford was I would park on a hill in the back, the parking, you know, and it goes down that way. So I didn't park at the bottom. That wouldn't help. So I'd park up at the top with a little bit of slope, emergency brake up. And so what I would do, if it was dead, I said, praise the Lord. Anyhow, I'll just release the emergency brake, put it in first, go down the hill, pop the clutch, and away we go. Well, that's great if it worked that way. But every once in a while, when you pop the clutch, you didn't do it right, or for some reason it didn't have enough gas, or you had flooded it out, and so you pop the clutch expecting it to start, and it goes, and it doesn't start. Now you're down the bottom of the hill, right this close to a wall, just barely enough that you can squeeze in between. And you're hoping that somebody else comes out of the workplace and says, are you stuck? Can I give you a hand? Yeah, you can give me your back, and let's push this thing back up the hill. We're going to try it again. And in our Christian life, if we're not careful, that battery will run down. It will run down. I took a group of teenagers on a, I don't know if it was a college trip, and we had a van, and I had another pastor going with me, and he had a bunch of kids, so we kind of like, you know, girls in one van, boys in the other van, and so forth. And on our way back, we had a dead battery. That's bad. But it wasn't bad, because if you have a generator, it generates electricity. That's good. But the generator in one of those two vans wasn't working. That's not good. That's bad. So we had the bright idea of the one van that had a good generator, alternator generator, had a good generator, and we would take that charge battery and put it over into this van, follow this now, that had the dead battery, take the dead battery out and put it over in this van. Then we put it over in this van, we jump start it. Battery's out of this one. You're not following this, but anyway. And then it would jump start this one, and then we would go and we would run off of this battery, but it'd only go for about 50 miles, and the battery would run down because you weren't putting juice back in it. And that's happened in America. We've got a lot of batteries that have run down. There are a lot of folks who check off on a list, you know, are you saved? And they'll check it off, but their batteries run down and down. And so we do that. We go 50 miles, and what do? We switch this dead battery now. It was charged when we put it in there, but now it's dead. We take it and put it over in the battery, this one. Take this one out, put it back over here. Does anybody know which battery is dead? It's like that little nutshell game, you know. It's just going to put it over here, put it there. Anyway, you got the idea that we were running off of somebody else's energy. And we cannot have that in our fundamental Baptist churches, where we're running off of somebody else's energy. Somebody came this morning, my battery's just not doing, but I need to be touched by God. And the song God used to touch you. Maybe the communion service God used to touch you. Maybe just fellowship and seeing a smiling face God used to charge you back up again. Now you have a responsibility. Since you got charged back up again, you got a responsibility to go charge somebody else back up again. America is on the skids because our Christian community and our Christian populace has withdrawn, and we're kind of hesitant to see somebody else charged up. You meet a Christian person out in the marketplace, they ought to know, just because of your countenance, just because of your walk, just because of your mannerism, just because of your desire to see them boosted up just a little bit. And you need to be used of God to be a charger-upper. Stay fully charged. A dead battery without another charge battery, it's not going to do a whole lot. It needs to have this on it. So what I'm saying to you this morning, stay fully charged. I know physically we get tired. Amen. Now, this is the younger group we're preaching to today. Nobody here gets tired. Nobody gets weary in well-doing. We'll reap if we faint not. We'll get that battery going and going and going and going. I need to hear some young people, everyone's going to say, Grandma and Grandpa, they're charged up. They're never done. When Grandpa's around, there's never a dull moment. When Grandma's around, I'm not talking about Ma and I, but I'm talking about you folks. Now, you may not have the physical dexterity to do what you used to do when you were 12, 15, 20, whatever, but you still have a mind that's there that God can use. God's been good to me. Let me tell you, Johnny, how good God's been good to me. I'm standing here just kind of like, should I take a moment and tell these folks how good God has been to me? And you, if given the liberty and the opportunity, could stand up, eradicate the shyness and the bashfulness, and you could stand up and say, God's been good to me. Amen? All right. You asked for it. I'm going to do it. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand to say anything, but has God been good to you? Would you raise your hand and indicating that God's been good to me? Don't be bashful. Yeah. Okay. You can put your hands down. Nobody called on me. That's okay. You know, is there anybody who's shy and does not like to speak in church? Amen. Let's have testimony time. Well, I understand that. You understand that. That doesn't mean you don't have a testimony. It's just you're shy, and we just have to overcome it because somebody needs to know that God's been good to you, and you've got a full battery. And if it's not fully charged, you're anticipating that when I came to church today, it's going to get charged. Some way, somehow, it's going to get charged. Just being around other Christian folks who've had hard times. But God's been good in spite of what may look at as a difficulty. Galatians, is that where you're at? Chapter 5. First point in an outline. Stay fully charged. Second point in the outline. Stay fully charged. Third point in the outline this morning. Can you guess what it is? Stay fully charged. And I think we need to have that in our members of our brain up yonder here. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19, 20, and 21. Now the works of the flesh are manifested. Which are these? These are the works that will drain your battery. These are the events and occasions and conversations that will drain your spiritual well-being. I don't know how many liberties to take, but there are manifest things that in a Christian's life, just due to exposure, when the weather gets cold, what happens to the battery? It loses its charge. Its charge is not as effective. And when the church people get cold, then we're not as effective. When was the last time you cried in church? When was the last time you felt heartbroken in church? When you look at the seat next to you and there's no one sitting in it, has it had an effect upon you yet this day? Praying for revival takes that we do something, and we may want to do well in starting by praying for the folks who aren't here. So they've got a good reason, their health problems and so forth. There's folks who could be in God's house, but are not here. We need to stay fully charged. Now the works of the flesh are manifested, which are these. Don't let the devil drain you of the energy, limited as it might be. Don't let him drain you with something else. Don't let him drain you with sporting events. I know there's not a person here who would have knowledge of anything that happened last weekend with reference to sporting events. Don't let it drain you. That you have nothing left to give to someone else. Can you imagine if that stadium that housed that football game knew anything about tithing to the local church? I certainly would be profitable. Go into all the world. One of the things that keeps our missionaries too long in our country is that there's not sufficient funds to carry them across the sea. And one of the reasons there's not sufficient funds, there's too much funds being dispersed in areas which God would not be pleased with. Y'all still sitting out there? And so we need to be able to expedite that which God has given to us, and to whom little is given, little is required, to whom much is required. And we ought to be able to do that for His honor and for His glory. Stay fully charged. Avoid sins that drains the battery. That's what I wrote down here. Avoid the sins. You don't have to go far to find sin. Do you? No, you don't have to go far. And we need to stay away from that which drains the body. Here in verse 19, Galatians chapter 5, verse 19, adultery. And the Bible speaks about he who looks on a woman to lust after her has already committed adultery in his heart. Adultery. And we need to train our young people to dress in such a mode that they're not adulterers. They don't open up that door of temptation. Fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, sedations, heresies, envies, murder, drunkenness, and you know, the derivative and the outworking of these transgressions named here in our culture today may take on different forms. And I'm not going to stand behind the sacred desk and use the word vilify. But what you know from reading those words is not conducive to strong Christianity. And we have tolerated it in a Christian country which has ceased to be a Christian country. And what we have done, we've backed off. And we have refused to be vocal concerning our Christianity. I think it's good for a man to have a wife. One. I do not believe that God would have a man and a woman live together like they were husband and wife, but not be husband and wife. Amen. And from that and so forth and so on. It's about time, grandmas, we get back to the shock. Shock therapy. You what? You didn't. Oh, how could you? You know what I'm talking about? Little Johnny's 17, 18. He's got a girlfriend and they're going out in the automobile, just the two of them. And then you sit back and go, what? Grandpa left the air out of your tires. Not if you're going to use my car. Or I'm not that you're using the car that I lent you money to buy. It just ain't happening. Oh, but that's not right. Is it right to let them do wrong? Is it right to let them do wrong? Is it right? Oh, they got... No. It's never right to do wrong. And nobody ought to feel they have a right to do wrong. Some of you looking at me like, where'd they find that relic from? It's not. And we need to understand that there is still a chance for revival in America. Amen. There's still a God in heaven in there. If there's a God in heaven and he divinely interacts with his creatures, his creation, his born again Christians, I think there's still a good chance that America can have a revival. And America is made up of individuals, and individuals need to have the revival. America doesn't need it, but individuals in America, unless we'll have it. I think our kids are worth fighting for. I think our husbands and wives are worth fighting for. But we have sat back long, too long. What are you going to do with it? You're going to do something. I don't know what you're going to do with it. We're going to do something. I'm going to give you a list of suggestions on how you can have your voice known. But you need to have it. We need to avoid the sins. Some of us are not spring chickens anymore. And we've been around long enough to know that it was difficult at times when I was a teenager and a post-teenager growing up. It was hard to find trouble. We had to go probably 10, 15 miles to find, this is excusable because I wasn't saved at the time. That's an excuse, you know. But we had to go 10, 15 miles or so to find trouble, whatever it may be, in whatever form and capacity it may be. But it wasn't close to home, because close to home, mom and daddy, neighbor, you know, your neighbor saw you doing something you weren't supposed to do. That was the law. That was the police. They didn't wait. I'm going to tell your mommy. They just walked down the street and grabbed your ear, and they dragged you back home. If they thought you used vulgar language, they didn't say shame, shame on you. They were in there with a Borax cake of soap. I think that's what it's called. You remember that brown soap? Anybody remember brown soap? Got that little grit in it. I'll tell you what, it does wonders for your teeth. That's why I had false teeth when I was just a youngster. It does wonders for them. Mommy didn't care about it. Their needs to, once again, in love. I mean, this is not out of violence or hatred or discontent. This is in love. We need to have someone who says wrong is wrong, right is right. The best way to live is letting right be right and wrong be wrong. And it's a fabulous way to live. And you saints have been married for a long period of time. Them grandkids need to know this is the best way. Don't anybody ever feel sorry for Ma because she's married to an old man? I don't feel sorry. How am I going to get out of this one? I don't feel sorry. Anyway, your kids need to know, and your grandkids need to know, that if you had to do it all over again, all that which was blessed and proper, you would do again. And all that which you did was wrong, you would just put prohibition upon prohibition upon prohibition. You can tell somebody no. It wasn't your little girl, so I hesitate in using an illustration. It happened yesterday. But the little person, I don't even remember if it was boy or girl, but said no. Said no. Mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, a little 3-year-old, 4-year-old, little 5-year-old, whatever, said no. You said, it's time to pick up your toys. No. I'm going to pretend you didn't say that. Grandpa's got problem hearing. Where are we going, Grandpa? I'll let you finish the rest of it. You can go wherever you want to with that child. It might need a little bit of education. As you all know, where do you apply it? Seat of learning. Might need something like that. Let me move on before I get in deeper trouble. Fully charged. Avoid the sins that drain the battery. Our culture has opened the door to all type of sins and transgressions. You would agree. You would agree. You would agree. I think we still have that constitutional right to say that there is something wrong. There is something wrong. This book that you hold in your lap is the determining truth of what is right and what is wrong. We're not going to vote on it. We're going to take it word for word and apply it to each one of ourselves. Stay fully charged. Avoid the sins that drain the battery. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. This is point number 2. First point was stay fully charged. Point number 2, stay fully charged. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Stay fully charged. Focus on the fruit of the Spirit. Profound. Stay focused on the fruit of the Spirit. I don't know how true it is. Somebody once said, you are what you eat. You are what you consume. I ate a maximum dish, a mega dish. We went into a restaurant. My wife wanted, I'm sure I told you a story, but my wife wanted something, and she said, with just a little touch of, what's that stuff that makes your breath smell real good? Garlic. Just a little touch. And I don't listen well. I don't hear well. I don't retain well. And I forgot what she said, but I remembered garlic. And so when the waitress came, she said, what do you want? And I said, well, I think my wife wants plain spaghetti, but with garlic. And the way I said it must have indicated like a lot of garlic, but I didn't say a lot of garlic. I said, with garlic. And so when it came in, you could know it was coming from the time it left the kitchen until it got over here. It really was, it stunk. And I had gotten plain spaghetti. So I traded with her. She had my plain spaghetti and I had her garlic spaghetti. It was strong. You could not get away from it. It was strong. I go into a grocery store shopping later on and somebody turns around and says, "Something's stinking here." I said, "I agree with you. Something does smell. Something's stinking here." Anyway, you are what you eat. We cannot afford any longer to stink. I trust your spiritual way of living would be good for just about everybody in this great country. Would you not agree with that? I know every once in a while we'll look on the outside and say, "Well, if everybody lived like that, wouldn't it be horrible?" If you picked out a particular class of people, group of people, whatever it is, and said, if they're all going to live, no. That's not good for our country. But if we could have every educational institution based upon the Word of God once again like it was when we were first founded, and we thought we were going to train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. But somebody said, we can't say that anymore. And somebody ought to be saying, and I'm saying, but that's the way God intended for it to be. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. Could we not get back to that once again? But the culture has intimidated the Christian community. Jesus saves. Don't tell nobody I said it. Jesus saves. You know, I'm a custodian at the local high school. Praise God from whom all blessing. Shh, can't sing that. Yeah, we can do all the bebop, whatever you call it today. I don't bebop, that's back in the... Anyway. Somewhere along the way, somebody's going to have to stand up and be counted. Amen? You don't think God has you here for a purpose? God didn't allow some of you to get old for no reason at all. You can carry the righteousness that you saw and the righteousness that you had and the righteousness that you carried with you to the next generation. To the next generation. Somebody asked me yesterday, what happened? Somebody dropped the ball. Somebody was too busy gratifying themselves to educate the generation that came behind. This is the way, God said, walk ye in it. Will we raise up a generation or rejuvenate a generation? Amen? Just say, we're going to do what God has intended for us to do. Lead folks to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and the qualifications necessary for an entrance into heaven, and to share that with some young people and some young couples and so forth and so on that are so mixed up, they need to hear the truth from folks who said, this has been good. This has been good. I think every once in a while, some folks look at, I'm trying to work around this thing, I'm not angelic. And I want to point at you and say, you're not angelic either. If we say we have no sin, what? And the truth is not in us. Okay? So we need to recognize that. But at the same time, somebody learned us that doing that and living that way, that was wrong. That was wrong. That was wrong. That was wrong. We need to have, once again, a understanding of the fruit of the Spirit. Let me just do this real quick. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. We need to do that once again. We need to train our youth. Sometimes we need to train grandma and grandpa. Boy, that went over big. Cross that one out of the notes, Ma. Just, we won't use that statement again. We need to train Grandma and Grandpa every once in a while. Okay. Grandma and Grandpa are singing that song, "Things I Used to Do, I Don't Do Them Anymore." They ought to change it. "Things I Used to Do, I Can't Do Them Anymore." You got, anyway. One more point. First point, stay fully charged. Second point, stay fully charged. Focus on the fruit of the Spirit and then stay fully charged. Three things and I'm going to be done. Please give it to me. Number one, to stay fully charged, pray. Man, always to pray and not to faint. Bible says pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. So what, that's basic, that's elementary, that's kindergarten type of theology? No, it means pray without ceasing. Pray wherever you are. Pray wherever you go. Folks will ask you, what were you doing? They brought the food out to your table. And what were you doing? I was talking to God. Give me a minute. I'll tell you about it. Use the opportunities that we still have. And one reason, or one of many reasons, that we don't have the opportunities or the privileges that we used to have is because we didn't exercise the privileges when we had them. Yes? We need one today. I'm going to exercise the privileges while I have them and exercise them as much as I possibly can. Stay fully charged. We need to pray. Pray without ceasing. And the second one goes along with it. And this is really profound, deep theology. Comes from some seminary someplace. Anyway, read your Bible. Read your Bible. We're not in a competition. How many, when you were in school, you read book clubs and see how many books you could read? Anybody in that? Won any special awards and prizes and all that kind of stuff? Okay. I always picked out the picture books. And my teacher said, they don't count. So anyway, read as many books as you possibly can. Read. But even if you read, and you don't comprehend, then we're in trouble. Now, we did not get into an educational deprived country by accident. Do you know that there were a group of philosophical people who wanted to destroy America a long time ago? And infiltrated and penetrated subtly into a nation, and those who were crying against it at that time were shunned. And now we're looking back and saying, they were making sense. Why did we invite this philosophy into our classrooms to destroy ourselves? But we need to read. I was glad to hear somebody said this morning, reading X number of books, a good number of books, X representing 10, no, a good number of books. And we ought to be readers. I'm going to say it. We need to learn to do the best you can with what you got. I've said, I know that before, okay? Some of you sitting out there saying, I am not a good reader. I am not a good reader. And since I am not a good reader, I guess there's nothing I can do. I went to college. I had to read books. I'm not a good reader. So I found a young lady who was a good reader. That was my first question. I've ever met a young lady. Are you a good reader? I finally met one who was a good reader. My wife was a good reader. And we were still in high school and I was in college too. But she would come over to my house on the weekends. I'd come home and she would read my history books and she would read my English books to me. She would sit had a dining room table, a six-chaired dining room table, and I would sit at the head and she would sit alongside of me and she'd be reading to me and I'd be sound asleep. Oh, yeah. Where were we? Yes, that's good. That's good. Hey, do the best you can with what you got. Don't expect or don't use your shortcomings to be an excuse for not doing what God wants you to do the best you can possibly do it. That's not a good philosophy. You're going to a surgeon. He's there getting a knife out and strapping it like he was going to shave you or something else. Just do the best you can with what you got. Wait, we got to find somebody a little better than that. Read your Bible. Number one, pray, read your Bible. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. Colossians 3 and 16, and I am done. Colossians 3 and 16. I got one word written down here, sing. Let the word of God dwell in you richly. Stay. Dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I don't know what you may have got out of Rev's rambling behind this sacred desk, but I hope that we can muster up a generation, whatever generation you want to put yourself in, but a generation of folks who are concerned enough to do something. Your very presence here in this place, in this church, in this sanctuary, with this body of believers, extremely important. We need to carry the good news to the outside. I don't know how you feel you can do it, what technology you want to use, but we need to do something. If we don't do it now, it's not getting any better, and it's not going to get better by osmosis. It's going to get better by you and I doing something for God. Whatever it is, I think it's worth fighting for. I think it's worth giving up. I think it's worth doing something for God. And so maybe we raise up here, folks, and say, I'm going to do something. I'm going to find out whatever God wants me to do. And if he doesn't say anything specific, do it and tell him you're sorry. If you marched in the wrong direction, Lord, I wasn't sure what you were saying, but I just decided I was going to put a track in every door. I didn't know I was going to get arrested for littering. But I just thought it'd be good to put a track in every door. Worry about the consequences later on. We need to have a body of believers who would raise up and do something. We need to pray. We need to read our Bibles. We need to sing. You are a very, very attentive group of people. And I'm saying that because it makes it hard to stop. I could have shouted, amen out of that, amen. Yeah. It's time to stop, Rev. Amen. I heard that. Stop. Amen. It's good. It's good. Keep the faith. Keep on doing what God wants you to do. Is there a strong enough element left in this great nation? Do you believe so? Do you think there's enough Christianity left in America? I do. Whether it be Christianity in America, but Christianity is the answer. Yes? Does not everybody need to know the Christ that you know? And in some way, strange form or another, you were given the opportunity to respond to the gospel message? Yeah. And so there are folks who need that, and we need to be carrying it out that way. In whatever manner is consistent with the Word of God, and you don't need to be comfortable in it. You just need to do it because it's right to be done. I'm a shy old man. Could you take this track? I don't like talking to strangers, but would you just take this and read it? They feel sorry for the old man. Sure, I'll take it. They take it home. Their curiosity, they're going to say, well, I wonder what that guy was giving out. You can get the gospel out. You don't need to be an expositor preaching. You just need to get that gospel out of the jacket pocket and into somebody else's hands. Heavenly Father, bless these dear folks. They've been very attentive, and I've been rambling. I trust that you would take something that was said, and that Holy Spirit would use it. Please, as I often pray, if I've said, and I'm sure I did, but if I said something that was displeasing to you, contrary to your word, grieving the Holy Spirit, please, Lord, forgive me. Lord, I wish I could do more, and maybe we could, but Lord, guide and direct us. We thank you for the gathering here this morning. May your Holy Spirit speak to each heart, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Churches vary from place to place, and at the end of the service, just like now, there is a shift of gear. Usually the preacher will preach, maybe they'll sing a song, but it's kind of like it doesn't carry through. I ask God to help us to carry it through all the way. It's, you know, I'm not scolding anybody for putting your coat on. But, you know, you follow what I'm saying? We still here? We need to be asking God, I've got to do something with the time I have left. I'm only 7, but I got to do something with the time I have left. I'm only 27. I have to do something with the time I left. I'm only, how old am I, Ma? If you don't know, how am I supposed to know? 76. That's hard to believe. I don't look a day over 70. Anyway, let me get out of here. Come lead him in song.
All right, let's take our hymn books and turn to number 386.
Each and every day, Lord, and I just pray that as we leave here today, that we would be faithful to you throughout this week, that we would honor you, that we would walk in your word, that we would pray, Lord. God, I pray that we would just glorify you in all that we say and all that we do, Lord. I thank you again that you hear our prayers. I thank you for your goodness, your faithfulness. I pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.